hey, everybody, check it out. I actually remembered to put the starting soon thing on today. Yep. So we weren't, like, sitting here talking about random bullshit or picking our noses or whatever. And then, like, well, it's probably a good thing that we didn't do that today because we were talking about some stuff, like, before the show started that probably we don't want everybody.
Matching shirts on.
Well, they don't match, but, they're from different movies, you know what I mean? Yeah, look at this.
This actually was sent to us by a fan.
Celtic Angel 73, who is in the comments sometimes. I don't think she's in there right now.
She'll see this, though, later. She gave me the thing. And what'd you give me?
I got Black Christmas.
Black Christmas, yeah.
Yeah,
fits great.
This is totally rad.
Yeah, I always wear, when it comes to sleeve shirts, I always wear a medium. If it's a wife beater, small. That's like the equivalent of a big titty girl wearing a fucking small shirt.
Well, I usually wear small, too. Small. Well, because like I said, when you have big boobs, if you wear a big shirt, it's going to hang like that.
It's going to hang
and make you look like you're wearing a potato sack.
Exactly. You know, like a white potato sack.
But but also, Celtic Angel also, we just got the box yesterday, so we're very excited about it. She also sent us an Amazon gift card.
$40 for the kitties.
For the kitties.
Yeah.
So we're going to buy some stuff for the kitties. Yeah. They need some more temptations and some various other things. Yeah. And also, look at, this is so fucking awesome. Look. It's a Reagan Funko Pop. Look, she's got little vomit all over the front of my fucking. It's like so funny. When I saw this, I was just like, I died laughing. That is hilarious. I've actually never seen this one. But look, she has little like things on her wrist, like little restraints are like torn and stuff like that. That is fucking adorable.
Yeah, that's for The Exorcist.
So thank you. Yeah, everybody knows that. So thank you so much, Celtic Angel 73. That is, like, so awesome.
Yep.
And thank you very much for the notes and everything like that you sent. You know, we were just delighted to find it on our porch yesterday.
Yep. Now, today we're going to review a movie sent to me by my buddy, Louis Hernandez, and it's called Training Day. He gave me a fucking really nice steelbook edition.
Yeah, that is a steelbook.
It's got the 4K and the Blu-ray in it. And he's never failed to deliver when it comes to fucking movies. He knows what kind of movie I like, and he's got great taste in movies. And this one did not disappoint. Did not disappoint.
That is, that's a great fucking movie.
It's up there with kind of like Sicario. Kind of like that.
That's a great fucking movie.
About a brand new detective on his first day of training in the hands of this senior special operative detective in charge of, you know, he's working in L.A., and these dudes are hardcore, all right? The shit that they're doing is illegal, but they're being ordered to do it by the guys that run L.A., the district attorney, and the fucking, what is it, the chief of police. They're telling them to do this stuff. And the real experienced detectives, they're very much kind of like, they have a lot of dark side skills, very predatory. Very much about lies and deception, but they're getting this job done, and you're not really sure why they're being told to do some of this. Some of this shit's just fucking straight up dark. It's illegal, you know, murdering bad guys to get money out of them that they had stashed, that they knew about. But you don't really know the whole backstory. You don't know if the dudes that they were killing were real bad guys. Was it justified? You don't really know. They say it is. But it's definitely illegal. Definitely illegal. And that's how they have to operate. And this guy gets caught up in this, and he's having a real battle with his conscience, you know, about whether or not, because he sees himself as becoming a bad guy, you know.
Well, I mean, he is kind of, because Denzel, I mean,
Denzel
he starts out,
knocks out Dan Park with this.
I mean, Denzel is like, technically, he is the villain of this movie. Yeah. Like, and you don't really realize that until kind of like the end. Because you realize, I mean, spoiler alert, this movie is more than 20 years old, so I don't feel too bad about spoiling it. It came out in 2001. But you find out, like, toward the end that Denzel, or Alonzo, that's his character's name, has pretty much manipulated Ethan Hawke's character. Mm-hmm. The whole entire time. Like, he was basically just, like, setting him up to be, like, a patsy, pretty much, for this shit that he... Possibly, that he wanted to
either a new member or a patsy. It could have been one of the two.
Right.
They could have killed him or recruited him as a new member. This is fucking blood oath stuff, you know, which is... That's a lot of the special operations type stuff sometimes had that in it. And I don't know what it's like now. I don't know anybody that's in the special operations shit. But back in the day... Back in the 90s, yeah, new guys that were in there. and they wouldn't talk. Once they go in there, they won't talk. But you hear rumors, and my uncle was in Task Force 160 Special Operations Aviation. Two of my uncles, they were brothers, but they were married into the family. They weren't blood relatives. And now they're bodyguards and helicopter pilots for guys in fucking Saudi and Dubai. You know, they work for fucking billionaire clients. And I was hearing things through my family about, you know, yeah, is that it's not really on the up and up all the time, what they're doing. But they don't give you any details. It's, well, this is kind of like the police version of it. Something has to be done. It's illegal. They're ordering you to do it anyway. If you get caught, you're fucked. You know, you have to kill yourself, or you have to make sure the enemy kills you. You know, because you can't see the inside of a courtroom. So, and they're going to deny your existence. They're going to say you were some kind of terrorist. We don't know that guy. That type of deal. Well, this is kind of like the police version of that. I'm not totally sure if Alonzo was a bad guy in that way. He was doing bad shit. He was killing people illegally, but he was being ordered to do it. Yeah, he was setting guys up, but I don't know the big picture. I don't know what the stakes were. I don't know how much of it was stuff he just pulled out of his ass, or if it was a tactic that they were using. And it was evidently, this was regular tactics that they used. They didn't want good guys in this special operations fucking detective fucking, they wanted bad guys in there.
Well, his whole thing was, yeah, he was basically just kind of out for himself, because he was trying to keep from getting smoked by the Russians. And the reason that he was going to get smoked by the Russian mob was because when he was in Vegas, this isn't in the movie, but they just like refer to it. He apparently got drunk or was in a rage or something like that, and beat a dude to death, not knowing that it was a dude from the Russian mob. So then the Russian mob were like, well, we're either going to kill you or you give us $1 million or whatever it was. So he basically like manipulated all of this to get that money from Scott Glenn's character, Roger, so he wouldn't get his ass killed.
Yeah.
And he was like, kind of had Ethan Hawke, because he was there for that day, for the training day. He was gonna kind of use him as like a tool.
Yeah, but he was gonna reward him if he went along with it. But the thing is, there's some caveats to this. Yeah, he killed that Russian mobster, but we don't know, in Vegas, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But we don't really know the background. It was probably in the line of one of his missions. Okay.
Well, no, because the three wise men, that the guy, like the DA and everything like that, you fucked that up in Vegas. Like they said he just went off on a tear and like did it like stupidly because he got mad.
Yeah, but that might have happened during one of his missions. In other words, they had him down there doing something, and one thing led to another, and he killed this guy when he probably shouldn't have. But I think he was working when it happened. Because then they went and told him to take care of it with the Russians. So that led me to believe they went ahead and said, do what you have to do to get the money to go pay the Russians off.
Yeah.
And that included killing that other guy. So they knew he was doing this. They were basically kind of like giving him his blessing to, because they needed him.
Although, well, I don't know about that, because I don't know if... I mean, they didn't really seem to care one way or the other, like if the Russians killed him or if he got the money, because Denzel was just kind of like, oh, well, I can, he said something like, well, I can call it, like, I can tax a person.
Yeah.
Like, because he knew that Roger had all that money that he could go get. But I think that if he didn't have access to the money, I don't know if the DA and all them would have cared all that much if the Russians had just killed him.
No, I didn't. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
They don't love him.
Okay. Right.
They might need him, though. He's a useful tool.
Right.
So don't, you know, this is mission-oriented stuff. This isn't having anything to do with right or wrong or what their feelings are. They told him to take care of it, which means, and they knew how he was. They knew that he was going to go out and kill people to get that money to pay off the Russians. They knew. They didn't care.
Just, right. You know,
and if he survived, they're like, okay, that's good. You can continue
to
work.
Yeah, they didn't really care one way or the other.
Yeah. They're not emotional. This is just mission-oriented shit. The now, the guys that, what do you call them, the wise men? When he's talking about the wise men, all he does is talk about, oh, he's a good man. And all. And you can see the expressions on those dudes' faces. They're like, yeah, fuck you.
Whatever.
Those were not good men. They were all bad. All right? So, because part of his conversational style is to fucking blow smoke up your ass and to fucking make you relax because he's going to fuck you over, you know. Or he eventually, if he has to, he will. They're just a bunch of dark cops. Very dark.
Well, this was kind of based, and somebody just said it, I think. Danny Rowling just said, yeah, this was based on, like, not super, like, accurate, but it was loosely based on a real cop, like Rafael Perez.
Yeah.
And this, well, the screenplay, which was in by David Ayer, by the way, was actually written before, I guess, wasn't there that big police scandal, like the crash scandal or whatever they called it? And I think that this movie was written before they found out about that, but there had been another L.A. police scandal that this was kind of loosely based on, like all of this kind of stuff that was going on in there.
Now, this is what's unusual about this situation is that it's happening within the United States, and they're usually real hush about this kind of shit. In other countries, law enforcement is kind of run this way. A guy that I was in the Army with, his name is Timothy Vanvakis. You can look it up. He's locked up right now. But he worked for South American and Central American clients for fucking decades. Those clients were in governments down there and also in intelligence agencies in different countries. And it merged in with drug cartels. And he's in prison for, I believe, just attempting to kill a DEA agent. I don't know if he actually did it. But his job was to run death squads. And it was him and about four other international mercenaries, guys from Russia, guys from Germany. I think one of them was an Austrian soldier. And they ran around dressed like cops, knocking on people's doors to arrest them, and they'd vanish them, take them out there and kill them. And they were doing this under the order of the governments, Central American governments. And they would be considered private security contractors. Not American security contractors, just whatever country they were working for at the time. Usually something in South America or Central America. These guys are kind of like that in a certain way, but they're shaking down drug dealers and trying to pay off mob people and stay afloat and fucking bust dealers, but they have to do it kind of slowly, evidently, and they kind of milk it for the money, and they're doing it like that. But if you can look up Timothy Vanvakis, he's a friend of mine. We basically grew up together in the Army. He was a good dude. He ended up getting out as like a sergeant first class. He was in for a long time. I kind of sympathize. He was just working for customers, and it was illegal, but the people that run those governments were telling him to do it. So it makes me wonder how many of these security companies are like this working inside the United States. I imagine there's a bunch of them. Just, we'll never know. People, they probably just make it look like suicide. Throwing people out windows, hanging people, writing suicide notes and everything. It's got to be that.
Xanadu said, I think this is Denzel's best performance.
Mm.
He's fucking great.
Yeah, he's great.
I haven't seen every single movie Denzel Washington has been in, obviously, because he's been in a lot. But I kind of feel like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought this came out in 2001. Was this actually the first time that he had played kind of like a bad guy? I kind of feel like he always played like nice guy or like, you know, good guys up to this point. And who knew that he was this good at being like this ruthless motherfucker? Yeah. He got an Oscar for this.
Yeah.
Best actor. And actually, Ethan Hawke was nominated for Best Supporting, but he didn't win. But so, Denzel finally, I think this was his first Oscar, so he finally got an
Oscar.
Sess
is in
one.
Has finally caught a show for a long time. She's in the comments section. Yeah. She's usually just sitting up being pretty over there in Australia, eating, sleeping like a lion, according to what she said.
Yeah. Eating Vegemite?
Just eating Vegemite. Laying on her back, sleeping, getting pretty with her new baby.
Slasher Fred said, this movie is sort of like, what if Obi-Wan Kenobi or Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid were a corrupt trainer?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, I was kind of thinking that about it a little bit in Star Wars terminology terms, too. This is like Sith training, you know. It's kind of like how they would train you in the dark side. Or the fucking hardcore infantry military, paramilitary units. Or hardcore infantry units back in the 80s and the 90s. They were mean like that, you know. Especially during wartime. But, he just throws this guy into the deep end and immediately makes him take drugs and tricks him into taking angel dust.
Or PCP.
PCP is angel dust.
Yeah. Yeah,
same thing. And he thought it was weed. It's fucking angel dust. And
He was just like, he was super, super manipulative.
Right. And then he's like, oh, you just thought it was going to be weed, huh? No. Fucking, and it's my understanding that all those undercover narcotics agents take drugs. They have to. if they're not taking drugs in front of these guys, they're not going to be trusted. Because
well, see, that's what I mean. Well, see, that's what's really good about this movie. And I think this is, like, the screenplay for this was really, really good. Because I feel like you kind of, even though, you know, when you first meet Alonzo, when you first meet Denzel's character, you're kind of like, well, he seems a little... You know, when they first meet in the diner, he's obviously, like, very rude and, like, very abrasive and shit like that. But, even like, despite how he is, and he has, like, I guess you would call them, like, unorthodox methods or whatever, but a lot of the stuff he says, like, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, you know, yeah, you should, if you're doing, like, undercover shit like they do, and they're trying to, like, bust these big drug dealers and whatever, yeah, I mean, if you're... undercover, you absolutely do have to, like, take drugs because you're gonna get caught.
They're
like,
gonna ask you.
They're
to take
gonna
drugs.
Know that you're a narc or that you're, like, a cop. And if you they know you're a cop, then you're gonna get killed. So some of this stuff. So, but I like the way they just kind of, like, built it up, because, like, he starts out, like, you know, like I said, unorthodox, but, you know, reasonable sounding, obviously, because that's kind of the job that you're doing. But then, like, as it goes on, and I think, and I was watching a couple other reviews of this too, and they said this is absolutely a movie that you should watch again, like, that you can watch lots of times, because after you find out, like I said, spoiler alert, that Alonzo has essentially, like, set Ethan Hawke up from the beginning. Because I think he even says, like, later on, he's like, I've been planning this for a week or whatever, that he kind of set up this whole day. And once you know that, they're like, there's a lot of little details in there, like shit that he says, or, like, the way that he looks at Ethan Hawke's character, like, certain times, where it makes it, like, a lot more... sinister when you know, like, the outcome of it, that he's been, like, manipulating him to this place, like, the whole entire time.
Yeah, but it was also an initiation, because if the idea was is that if he went along with all this, he would be a hero in the eye. They would make him look like a hero in the eyes of the Force, and they'd get a bunch of promotions, and they knew that they would be able to trust him because he had all that dirt on him. Because they would, you just had to see the movie.
Yeah, that's
they
another
killed,
thing.
They murdered a guy and fucking put the homicide on the Ethan Hawke character, and they cooked up a story saying that as they entered the place, he shot, the bad guy shot this cop, which the bad guy didn't shoot anybody, okay, and then Ethan Hawke shot the old guy in self-defense, you know. It wasn't self-defense, though, they just fucking executed the guy.
Yeah.
But they had to arrange the scene.
Because they wanted all like the money. He had $4 million he's like, underneath his floorboards.
He's like, wait, hold on. He goes, no, you're going to go along with this. You're going to get a citation, you're going to get a unit citation, and you're going to be a hero today.
Yeah, you're going to make detective, like, and all this other kind of stuff.
He thought it was some kind of test, I guess. But he just killed that dude. It wasn't some kind of test.
Well, I think at first he thought before he killed him.
Yeah.
Because Denzel had kind of been fucking with him all day, right? So you kind of think, well, is this, like, part of the training? Is he just, like, actually wants to see if I'm going to do it? Or, you know what I mean? So, and I think that's what was so great about this movie is just that it's just tense the whole way through, because you're never entirely sure, like, what Denzel's deal is. And it's, like, what exactly his end game and his plan is. So you're just kind of like, well, you don't really know... You know, does he really want him to shoot that guy? Did he really want, you know what I mean? So when that does happen and, like, shit goes down, you're like, oh shit, now it's on, you know?
It's basically what you're dealing with is a hand-picked, powerful, undercover narcotics special operations unit that is basically a gang of dudes that murder drug dealers and steal a lot of the money.
Who are basically just as bad as the drug dealers, to be honest.
And they basically start that off. He's like, there's only wolves and sheep, and to survive this, you have to be a wolf. All that shit is probably true that he said. And then after he was killing somebody, he's like, why do you care that I killed that guy? He'd been selling poison on the street, fucking did all kinds of other bad shit. It was his time, you know. He had to go, you know.
We don't know if that's true or not.
That's what he said.
But, I mean, he might have been just telling him that to, like, make him feel better. But then, on the other hand, he was obviously up to something shady because he had $4 million.
Yeah, he had all that million
and
dollars.
And there was a scene, too, like, the first time they go to his house where they're just, like, drinking his expensive scotch or whatever. And if you notice, there's such, like, an offhand scene. But this is what I mean, like, why this is a good screenplay, because there's all these little details in there that, like, don't seem to mean anything. But then when you watch it again, it's kind of like, you know, it kind of all adds up. He gets a phone call when the first time they're there, and all the phone call is, he just picks it up and says something like, don't call me, this is your mess, you clean it up, and then he just hangs up. Yeah. So obviously, like, he's up to some shady shit.
Yeah.
You don't know if what Denzel said about him was true, like, after they shot him, but, you know, he's obviously not a good guy. Well, wasn't... I thought that, like, Roger, Scott Glenn's character, was he the guy that trained Alonzo? That's what they said, right?
Maybe.
I thought he was was the guy that trained Alonzo, because he knew... I mean, he knew him from back then.
So he must have been a dirty cop.
That's what I'm saying.
They were all dirty cops, though, in a way.
Right. But well, all of him and his, like, little squad.
Yeah, but he had $4 million he really wasn't supposed to have.
Yeah. Like, so under the floor.
They must have stole it.
Well, they were obviously, like, not shy about shit. They'd even, like, break into, like, poor people's houses and be like, hey, we have a search warrant, and they would just, like, take money out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they'd just steal.
So he wasn't fucking proud. No. And then when he saw that, like, near the beginning, when he sees that one drug deal go down and, like, those dorky college students just, like, buying weed or whatever, and he stopped them and just put guns in their faces and, like, took all their shit.
Took their weed.
Yeah, like, took all their drugs.
But that's kind of similar. That's kind of similar to what police would do anyway. They'd pull you over on a stop and take your weed from you and not charge you. But they were just real rough about it. And he says, if I see you back here again, I'm going to hand your girlfriend over to the homies, and they're going to run a train on her. That was the threat. She's back there with her eyes looking like a dumb, like she was a fucking deer in the headlights. So what the fuck did I get myself into going down to the hood to go buy all that fucking, to buy those drugs? Fucking
well, threat. No, those were the same drugs that he gave to Ethan Hawke later,
yeah,
right?
Turned out it was PCP.
The PCP. Like, yeah, and he just told him it was weed.
Told him it was weed. It's not what it was.
But that's not what it was. Because he's like, oh.
Some shitty weed, you know what I mean? But it was shitty weed, but it was laced with PCP.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, that's not weed. Yeah, weed doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Xanadu said, I think it was his first villain role. I thought it was, too. I mean, I thought prior to this that he had mostly only been like, good guy.
Some pretty good gunplay scenes. Fairly accurate. Stylistically shot in certain scenes. I noticed that they included a lot of damn sound effects for spent shell casings hitting the floor, which I think is a good touch in a movie. Although we did a lot of indoor shooting through different ranges, you know, mostly with M16 A2s indoors, and I don't remember ever hearing a single fucking shell casing hitting the ground. And half that time I was an M60 machine gunner with all those fucking belts with all the fucking links in the cartridge casings. I don't remember any of them hitting the floor. It's just everything's just so deafening you can't hear anything. But it is a good touch in a movie. It makes it sound in a weird way more realistic, you know. You hear the gunshot and then you hear the shell casings hitting the ground. Nice touch. There were also some scenes that looked like they were almost lifted out of Blade Runner. The scene where
especially like in the third act, like toward the end.
Yeah, it's where Alonzo is chasing down to Ethan Hawke's character. What's Ethan Hawke's character again? What's his name again?
Oh, shit. No, I can't. Yeah. It just totally went right out of my head.
Yeah, I forgot what his name is.
Jake,
yeah.
That's right.
He's chasing Jake, kind of like in the way Roy Batty was chasing fucking Deckard. And then jumping from rooftop to rooftop and trying to make it onto ledges and hanging by the fucking railings and stuff.
Good stunt work in this, too. Yeah. I feel like, especially when Ethan Hawke, like, jumps on the hood of the car and then, like, Denzel is, like, smashing into this car and smashing into that car, like, trying to get him off there. That was, like, I'm sure it was a stunt man, but it's, like, it was a really good stunt, I thought. Somebody said, I love this scene, Xanadu said, I love the scene where the guys in the hood tell Alonzo to handle his own dirty work.
I also like the scene where Jake got captured, basically got handed over to the guys in the fucking Mexican gang, and they were getting ready to kill him, and it turns out, then they found, dude found his little cousin's wallet where he saved her from being raped.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I was like, man, that's a good thing he still had that fucking wallet in his pocket that he hadn't taken it back to her. His brains had been all over that tub.
Has anybody ever pushed your shit?
Had your shit pushed in?
Yeah, have you had your shit pushed in?
I said, I'm going to have to remember that line. Well, you know what? Okay, so here's another thing that I didn't, until I was watching another review of this, and somebody that was, like, pointing out, like, all these little details and stuff. Like, earlier on in the film, you know the scene where he, you know, he goes to the Mexican guy. He's like, oh, we're just going to this house. Like, I bring them stuff. Like, he's bringing them blenders and shit like that or whatever that they take from people. And so he goes there. He's like, hey, I gotta go take a shit or whatever. And he goes in the bathroom. And then Ethan Hawke is there. Jake is there, like, playing cards with the dudes. And so he's just there thinking Denzel's, like, taking a shit in the next room. Yeah. And then he discovers that Denzel has left him there. Yeah. And it turns out that Denzel had given them money to kill him.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, that's what, because he put all that money down the table. He said, do you know what this is for?
Yeah.
And then so, and if you notice earlier, Denzel was on the phone, and this was, again, another detail that you probably didn't notice unless you saw it again. And he's on the phone. You don't know who he's talking to on the phone, but he says, keep that bathtub clean, he said. Yeah. So he was setting that up.
Right.
So he gave them money, and then he deliberately left him there. So
that's because he didn't go along with that thing.
Yeah. Well, like I said, had Ethan Hawke, like, gone along with whatever he wanted, like, maybe it would have been okay, and, like, he would have joined the. But because Ethan Hawke was like, no, I'm not being a party to this, and he was going to turn the money in, then he's like, well, I need the money to keep the Russians from killing me, so I'm going to just leave him at this house, and I'm going to pay them to bump him off, which is what they did. But like I said, because he had saved that 14-year-old girl earlier from being raped, it turned out that that was that guy's cousin.
Yeah, it's funny that they said that was a 14-year-old girl when she's obviously got implants. She does that?
Well, you know. Yeah, she didn't really look 14. No, I'm not saying that it's, you know.
24 with implants.
But now we sound like the rapist on there. It's like, oh, she's all woman. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like.
Well, she was 24.
But I mean, they should have got somebody that looked a little bit younger. 14,
no.
Because that girl did not look 14.
Fuck no.
Not at all.
Fuck no.
I mean, I have seen some young girls that did look much older, but I'm just saying there was no
girl.
That
obviously
girl
had implants. Was obviously a stripper.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think my favorite thing, this movie had, like, such great lines in it. I think my favorite part was, like, Denzel calling somebody a poo butt ass.
Yeah,
poo butt ass.
Yeah.
Because we were watching it. I had I always have the closed captioning on. I was like, did that just say poo butt ass?
Yeah.
Like, back that up.
That's a little kid in his diapers.
Fucking poo butt ass.
Yeah, a little boy.
Zach said, "It's. I always find it funny that that Denzel won an Oscar for this because it doesn't seem like an Oscar movie."
I thought it was good.
It was well, I mean, but yeah, it's not usually the kind of movie, I guess, that, like, the Oscars would.
I put it up there with Sicario.
Would reward, but this was actually, like, a really. I mean, it made a lot of money, and it got, like, a lot of really good, you know, critic reviews.
Yeah. Good.
So, especially for the acting performances, which are great. And this movie, I mean, it just, every single, not a single detail in it is wasted, and it just keeps on going. Like, it seemed like it was fairly long, but it didn't really seem like, it didn't drag anywhere. No. It was just propulsive.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time through, and it was, like, really, really entertaining. And I also, like, the interplay between the two of them was really good. I think initially, it was supposed to be Samuel L. Jackson.
That would have worked.
Was supposed to play that, which would have been good too. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that, but
yeah, but this Denzel fucking knocked it out.
He killed
it.
He killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so good in this.
Yeah.
And I think
that's my favorite movie with him in it.
And I think that he used his previous you know, acting career of, like, usually being the good guy, and I think that he kind of, like, channeled that into,
he's a better bad guy.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah, I know. I'm just saying, but he could use that to his advantage because nobody expects Denzel to, like, do all this horrible shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was kind of like Tom Cruise in Collateral.
Right.
He plays the assassin. Similar movie. Similar.
Ben says, you thought he was my friend? He sells drugs to school children. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you never know if that's true or not, but, like, in the end, does it really matter? It might be true, it might not be true. But the thing about it is Denzel, well, he says a couple times during the movie, too, like, he has this line where he just says, you know, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Yeah, I think he was just a very gray cop that had mutated along the dark side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And killed bad guys any way he could and was trying to survive any way he could. I think that's all, really all it was.
And really, in the end, he was kind of just trying to save his own ass.
Yeah, he was trying to survive.
You know?
The Russian mob was going to kill him. They eventually did.
Spoiler alert, they do. He gets ventilated pretty good at the end.
He didn't make it back with the money in time.
and I actually kind of like that Ethan Hawke at the end just kind of, like, dropped his nuts and was like, oh, well, this is your problem now, bye.
Yeah.
And then nobody in the hood will help him, even though Denzel thought he was, like, king shit of shit mountain, you know what I mean?
Well,
but then he goes down there and then he finds out that
fear.
Right, and, like, nobody liked him. And so when Ethan Hawke was there, just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to shoot him, they're just like, nah, we're not going to.
He ruled him by fear and reward and kind of kept, he kept that area as like his personal safe zone or his personal right. fiefdom where he could come. He was screwing one of the girls there and had a kid there.
Yeah, that was his mistress. Yeah, because he said he had a wife and four sons, like yeah. elsewhere.
So he had a parallel life going on in the hood.
Yeah.
And they were sick of him because he was just throwing his weight around all the time. Because he was dangerous and he powerful, had a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
A lot, stealing money from drug dealers. So he became kind of like a kingpin in the hood.
And he found out
amongst other shit. He was doing other shit too.
And he found out that nobody could stand him. Yeah. At the end because nobody would help
well,
him.
Well, you know, it's law of the jungle. They saw his weakness and they said, oh, now we can turn on him.
Right.
So that's you know. And he was trying to use command presence and use his voice and his words to try to fucking get them back under control, but it was too late.
Yeah, they were just
they had
like,
seen,
meh.
He looked weak at the time, so they turned on him.
Ben said, was this the movie with Hugh Laurie as the internal affairs cop? No, Hugh Laurie was not in this movie. Zach says, can we talk about how stupid it is that Sam Jackson has only ever got one Oscar nomination, I think, for Pulp Fiction? That is stupid. Yeah, there's a lot of actors that probably should have multiple Oscars and do not, but you know what I mean. It's just silly how that goes. It's silly how that goes. Yeah, Ben said, I think this and several other LA cop movies at the time were heavily influenced by the Rampart scandal. Yeah, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Because there was one later on that was called the Crash Scandal, like big C, big R, big A-S-H. But I think that that came later. You know what I mean? I think that happened like after this had already been written. And Danny Rowling said, Sam Jackson played a dirty cop in Lakeview Terrace, which was really good. I've heard that's really good. I don't think I've seen it, though. I don't think I've seen it, though. Somebody said Snoop Dogg cameo. That's right, yeah. Well, the funny thing about it was that...
Forgot about it.
There's the scene, because I didn't, like, look at the credits or anything like that. So there's, like, the scene where the guy comes up to the window and is like, hey, it's somebody trying to be Snoop Dogg. I'm like, oh, no, it's actually a Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a wheelchair.
Dr. Dre was in it, too. I thought I saw him, like, lurking around in the background. And you...
I thought that one girl was Macy Gray.
It is.
It is Macy Gray.
You called it.
Okay.
Yeah, like, we were watching, and he's like, I'm pretty sure that's that singer, right? It's like, what's her name? What's her name? And he thought of it. He was like, Macy Gray. And I was like, I don't remember. Like, I haven't seen Macy Gray in a long time. It's like, so I don't remember what she looks like.
Yeah, they had a really ugly dub.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. That's who it was. And somebody said Eva Mendez was in this. Yeah, that's right. She played the mistress, right? Like, his mistress.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's right. And somebody said Cliff Curtis was in this. I was like, was that him? The guy that was playing, like, the main, what do you call it? The main guy that, in the gang that was gonna kill him in the bathtub? That was Cliff Curtis, right?
I don't know who that is.
He was on Fear the Walking Dead. He's that big, like, Maori-looking motherfucker.
No, I don't remember.
Do you remember Fear the Walking Dead? He was, like, the main guy on that.
No.
Okay. Well, you'd know him.
If I saw him again.
Yeah, and he's been in other things, too. Yeah. But, like, I thought he looked familiar, too. But, yeah, I pretty much
forgot everything about Fear.
It's funny that you called that being Macy Gray, because I never would have. She looked familiar, but I couldn't place her.
Well, I actually more recognized her by her speaking voice.
Oh, okay.
She's got a real rough, gritty kind of voice. It sounds real cool. She sings like that.
Yeah.
And then
hadn't seen her
in so
long.
The shape of her face and everything. They had her totally... ugly as shit. She got her fucking looking like a damn crackhead mother of two or something. But I was like, man, that's Macy Gray, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, you called it.
Yeah.
That's exactly who that is. Yeah, that whole scene was fucked up where they went in there and it's like, he's like, yeah, here's a search warrant. Then he goes and like fucking rolls her house and takes her money and shit like that. And then she opens the thing and it's like the fucking Chinese menu. And that was like the Chinese menu that he told Ethan Hawke to take off his car at the beginning of the movie. So like I said, everything connects to something else, which is great. Danny Rowling said Snoop Dogg is a snitch. That's how he beat those murder charges. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, this they actually shot this too in the actual neighborhoods. Like the gangs allowed them to shoot it in there, and I think some of them were in the movie. And they said they thought it was like really cool. They were like, "Woo, they're making a movie." You know what I mean? So I think like a lot of the dudes who were like up on the roofs and stuff like that were like actual gang members.
Yes.
In the movie. I don't know if they actually have pigeons, though, to, like, warn people about...
Why not just walkie-talkies?
I don't know. Pigeons is so much cooler, though. And pigeons is, like, so... It's plausible deniability, you know what I mean? Because it's like it could just be birds. You don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the whole warning system. I hope that they actually use pigeons, because that would be kind of cool. I don't know.
They got Mike Tyson up there raising them.
That's right. I forgot about Mike Tyson and the pigeons. Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Not so cute. All right. So are you ready to wrap it up, I reckon?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We gotta watch
A Haunting.
A Haunting tonight.
Yeah. I think we're gonna do Angels and Demons. Okay. That's from season 5.
All right.
And I looked on our thing and we haven't done that one yet.
Okay.
Because I think we've done all the ones from the main.
It's gonna end in an exorcism, you know it.
I can already tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's okay. Most of them do. Oh, it's, we're just going to have to, like, deal with it. You know, that's just how it's going to go. But, yeah, so thank you very much, Louis, again, for sending us the movie. I don't think I had ever seen this movie, but everybody told me, like, how awesome it was. So I'm glad that I finally got a chance to watch it because it was way, way better than I was expecting. I was expecting it to be good, but it was, like, way, way better than I was expecting.
Louis says it's going to be good. It's going to be
good. Yeah, I mean, it was, like, really, really entertaining.
Louis
I got super into it.
Yeah.
And Denzel kicked ass in it.
Yeah.
I mean, Oscar well-deserved, I feel like. So I'm glad he got one for this. But yeah, so hopefully you guys have a good rest of your weekend, however much of it that you have left. And we will be back tomorrow for A Haunting Mondays. Like I said, we're going to do Angels and Demons, which is season 5, episode 2, I think. So that's the one we're going to be doing. So hopefully you can join us for that tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow.